92.1 WGHN Grand Haven's favorite. You're listening to Good Morning Grand Haven, and we have a local author in the studio, Melanie Hoenga. Did I say it right?
You did perfectly, yes. Hello.
Butchering it all morning. No, I haven't. I am so excited for this book that you wrote, The Quiet Unraveling of Eve Elloway.
Yes.
And I'm a mom of twins.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It follows an 18-year-old Eve whose twin sister disappeared as a baby. Eve's mom had a mental break, and rather than get her the help she needed, Eve's dad raises her as both girls to protect her mother's fragile mind. My wheels are spinning already. Where did you come up with this? Oh, my gosh, Melanie, this is very intriguing. Just that first line there.
So, and I've had some friends say to me, I'm a little worried about being your friend after reading this book. Like, what is going on in your mind? So, this is definitely darker from the other things I've written. People who've known me for a while, they're in for a little bit of a surprise. But I was actually just brainstorming what should my next book be and was trying to come up with ideas. I'd recently read a book with twins.
Okay.
And thought, okay, but I don't have a twin. I was like, oh, we'll have one of the twins be disappeared. You know, just have them be kidnapped. No problem.
Okay. All right.
And it just kind of went from there. And, you know, you start thinking, what twists can you have? What? How do you make something unique? You know, there's so few books that are very original. You know, there's every idea is just a different way of telling it. So having a missing sister isn't unique, but having a girl be raised as both her and her sister, I don't think I've read a book like that before.
No, my daughters can't wait to read this.
Oh,
and they're identical twins. And now Eve is counting the days until she leaves for college.
Right.
She wants to get out of Grand Haven and escape this double life.
Right.
But she, you know, but she doesn't want to expose that secret that she's desperate to keep. Do you want to read a passage from this? I would love to hear you read something from this. The Quiet Unraveling of Eve Elloway.
So I will preface this by saying, so the first little part is a journal entry. There's a few chapters that have a journal entry. And then part of what Eve does is she has, like, every evening she hangs out with her mom a little bit. The mom doesn't read, doesn't leave her kind of suite. She's got a little living room and bathroom and stuff in there.
Okay.
And then she goes back, she changes her clothes, and she pretends to be her sister Jen and has that same time as Jen.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to save her stories and things like that. So this scene, she's actually visiting with her mom as Jen.
Oh.
But the thoughts are her.
Okay.
And so hopefully you can follow this. Okay.
All right.
How long can you keep a secret before it changes you? Burrows into your subconscious and worms through the folds of your brain the way the sand at the edge of the lake envelops your toes, threatening to pull you under. Everyone knows I don't go anywhere because Mom, well, Mom doesn't go anywhere. Like, doesn't leave the upstairs or our house go anywhere. Although no one knows that part. I've been hiding it for so long that the thought of anyone finding out nearly destroys me. I just need to get through the rest of the senior year and then I can start my own life. 140 days. Most kids see college as a new beginning. For me, it's an escape. No one knows I'm counting down the days. They wouldn't understand. Couldn't. Only 140 more days to fake my way through. Then I'll finally be free. My mind's still buzzing when I open Mom's door later that night. A new episode is queued up, and she's waiting for me on the couch. She gives me a tender smile. How was your day? I sit next to her, tucking my legs beneath me. Good. It was warmer today, so practice was more fun. And school was school. Thoughts of the competition fight for my attention, but I already told her about it during my time, and she didn't seem very interested. Of course, I left out the part about leaving for a month over the summer, but even without that detail, I thought she'd be more excited for me. I think someone's moving into old Sherm's house. The casual comment makes my heart race. It'll be nice for Mom to have something new to keep her imagination occupied, but complicated for me. For us. Did you see them? Please be another old couple, or people with tiny kids. People who keep to themselves and don't wonder about the strange family living next door. Anything but, it looked like a single mom with a son about your age. The absolute worst possible outcome. You probably know him. He looked popular. Cool. Never mind that popularity isn't a physical characteristic like hair color or height. If he's popular, he won't know who I am, and my secret should be safe. My shoulders relax, and my smile appears automatically. Hopefully they're nice. She pats my hand. Is Lissa having her party this weekend? My head bobs with an enthusiasm I don't feel. Putting Jen on the soccer team seemed like an easy way to explain where she was after school. Having her be best friends with two of the most popular girls came naturally after that. I really was BFFs with Lissa for 2 weeks in sixth grade, just long enough for me to memorize the way her cheeks dimpled when she smiled and be completely confused by what that smile did to my insides. But our friendship ended with a non-invite to the first of an endless string of parties, and she's belonged to Jen ever since. Now as my senior year winds down, keeping track of my lies is second nature. Cal's picking me up, but I'm not sure how long we'll stay. She touches my cheek, her eyes on mine. They're just as watery as they were earlier, but there's a brightness to them that only comes out when Jen's in the room. I wish Eve would find a nice boy like Cal. You two seem so happy. Fury bubbles to the surface, my blood burning through my body and years of pent-up venom threatening to spew all over my oblivious mother as she strokes her knitting needles. I did this. This is my fault. Not hers. But she's my mother. She should know. You've been too careful. She never will. What if I slip? There's a lot to keep track of, and you don't know Cal like I do. Maybe I'd like to. How would Mom like it if Eve stole Jen's boyfriend? She just pushed me higher on the pedestal. My fingers are so tangled in my ponytail that hair knots around the silver ring on my thumb. It frees with a yank, and the sharp pain in my skull settles my thoughts. A smile surfaces. You know Eve. She's too busy with the paper. Until she finds a boy who loves words as much as she does, she'd rather be alone. Cal loves words. So why do you keep pushing him away? Shut up. Mom sighs, an exhalation of her hopes and dreams for her younger daughter, her only daughter. She grips my hand, her bony fingers surprisingly tight around mine. Maybe you could set her up with one of your friends, a boy from the soccer team. Never mind that the majority of the boys on the soccer team think oppression and regime refers to a killer offense. The odds of me having anything in common with any one of them are about as likely as Mom snapping out of her 18-year fog and realizing her precious Jen doesn't exist. I don't think she'd go for that. It was just a thought. She squeezes my hand and the claustrophobia sets in. 1, 2, 3. I just want you both to be happy.
The quiet unraveling of Eve Elloway. All right. It came to you in 2016 when you were still writing the Rules series. This is very, very intriguing, and it's really different from stuff you've done.
Yes. Yeah. I had to kind of readjust my typical way of writing. I used to be able to crank out 1,000 words in an hour. I outline heavily, so I know what's coming in the story, and I just go.
Okay.
This, you know, there's a lot more internal conversation and thought, and she's a writer as well. She's the first writer that I've written as a character, which is kind of fun. She's very pretentious and thinks she's very smart, so she uses big words and things that, you know, I typically have just tried to make my characters more like your average teenager and not have overcomplicated ways of describing things necessarily. And that's not to say this is super wordy. I don't want readers to get the wrong idea about that.
Right.
But she's got a lot going on, and there's a lot in her head, and it just took more to kind of show that than it has with my past books. But I really enjoyed it. I finished it right before the pandemic, and then
really
kind of sat on it for a bit because it's a really dark book, and people had a lot of darkness in their lives. And
yeah, that's well, that probably was smart to kind of hold it back for a little bit, Melanie.
So
yeah.
Figured now, you know, everything's great in the world. So
there you go.
put out a book.
You have an event at the bookseller on Saturday. Tell us about it.
So this Saturday at the bookseller, the book technically doesn't come out online and everywhere else until Tuesday, the 25th. But this coming Saturday, you can get it a couple days early if you come from 1 till 3 o'clock. I will be doing a brief reading at 1:30. And we're giving away an iPad, there will be a knitting kit, journals, and some mental health stickers. So all little things that tie in with the book.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And you have a website, MelanieHoo.com.
I do. It's just MelanieHOO.com.
And I know that you will set up camp and hold court at one of the coffee shops and talk about writing.
We have it this week.
You have one this
tomorrow.
Week?
No, today. It's Wednesday today, yes.
What time is it at today?
So 6 till 7:30. I'm hosting a writer's happy hour. I do this every third Wednesday of the month at Outsides. And it's just a casual open table for writers of any genre, if you write news articles, if you write poems, if you write books, whatever, doesn't matter where you are in the process. And it's not a time to exchange like words. We're not critiquing people's work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to talk. Sometimes, you know, when you're writing by yourself a lot, and it can be really hard. Sometimes you get stuck on things or you just need to bounce ideas off people. And I've been wanting to do this for a really long time and started it up last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few people that come regularly, then there's always a couple new people that kind of come in and out. So it's a nice little time to sit. You can grab a beer, or they have non-alcoholic beverages too.
But
just, you know, anyone's welcome. I have a little sign that indicates we're the author group. Sometimes
well,
there's
that's
other,
nice.
There's other
yeah.
groups meeting there as well. We're usually down by the coffee shop. end of the bar.
But, well, that's nice that you share your talents with other people because, you know, I think everybody has a book in them. But
well, and it's not even just me sharing my talents. It's just, you know, there's other people that I've learned things from and they've helped me come up with ideas and stuff. So
exactly.
Including for this book, for marketing it. So
it's The Quiet Unraveling of Eve Elway. Melanie Huyenga, did I say it right?
Sure.
I did. She's like, yeah, you said it right. What does it feel like to hold that book in your hands?
Oh, this is amazing. So I actually have the hardcover copy with me here, and this is the first time I've done a hardcover book. So it's very exciting.
Congratulations. Yes. I'm so excited to see where this takes you, and I can't wait to read the book. It's very exciting. This is 92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite.